Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. Jerry's here too. Dave's here in spirit. It's Short Stuff.
But we're all in the same astral plane, man.
We're all here in spirit.
That's right. We're tethered by the silver cord.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, we're just floating around, checking things out.
Sure. The reason Chuck's talking like that, everybody, is because we are going to investigate one of the weirdest occurrences in the annals of both traditional yoga and the New Age movement.
Okay.
I'm gonna put it like that because I think that's pretty accurate, really.
That's right. We're talking about a man named Robert Antoschik, and this is a gentleman who... it was in his late 20s, in the mid 70s. He lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He was, by all accounts, a good dude. He was pretty chill. He teached yoga. He taught yoga
at the English.
NYWCA. He's a vegetarian. He was a practitioner of karate, former Marine. Just seemed like an all around. Good dude, very much into esoteric yoga, which is to say a large focus on the mind and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these people that really got into like, hey, I'm really going to start studying with yogis and I'm going to travel to India and I'm going to take up fasting and meditation and give up a lot of my material possessions, like went all in on this.
Yeah, and he didn't just show up in India, you know, eat some like palak paneer, and hang out for a few days and then come home. Like, he actually went and studied under the yoga master, Iyengar. So, like, he really, really was into yoga in the 70s. Like, this was not the 90s or the 2000s. This was the 70s when it was, like, you know, not the most usual thing you would find somebody who had traveled to India to study yoga still. So, he came back from that, from what I can tell, a fairly changed person. And like you said, he was really interested in esoteric yoga and in particular astral projection. And I found a contemporaneous article, which I just used on purpose, from the Detroit Free Press in 1975. And they called astral projection, astro projection, all one word.
And they astro, right?
Yeah. They said it's kind of like the Jetsons version of it.
Yeah.
But and they used it more than once, so apparently they thought that's actually what it was called. But with astral projection, or astro projection, I guess, if you take it on face value, it's kind of easy to explain. And that is that when you meditate in a certain way, one technique is to focus on the line between sleep and wakefulness and like really focus on that and try to actually stay in that space. Your spirit, your soul will leave your body. And in that state, your conscious mind is conscious, taking in all of this information and all of these sights and sounds and things. But you can go anywhere, not just in the world, not just in the universe, Chuck, but in different dimensions and planes of existence entirely, all while your soul is still connected to your body, right?
Yeah, and that's the key, that waking consciousness, because it's not like you come back and say, boy, I think my soul left my body, but I have no memory of anything.
Right.
Like, it's floating around, metaphorically speaking, and taking all this in and bringing it home with you. They have like in this lucid dreaming, because there are some similarities there.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole key here, and I kind of joked about it earlier, that we're all attached and tethered by our silver cord.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called. It's sort of like an umbilical cord when you're astral projecting that keeps you tethered like an astronaut to a spaceship.
Yeah.
So you just don't get stuck out in the astral plane somewhere.
Yeah. It is possible for your silver cord to sever. Apparently, one tradition is that when you die, like when you're born, or when you're conceived, I should say, the fetus is connected to your spirit through your silver cord, and then as you grow and age and everything, you stay connected, and then finally when you die, that silver cord is separated, so your soul is separated from your body. But it's possible for your silver cord to become accidentally or inadvertently separated. And that is not something that you want to happen, because in this plane of existence, that means that your body is dead. Your spirit is never coming back. It's permanently untethered, which means it's permanently and forever lost in the astral plane, in the spirit world, and it will never be able to find its way back. And there's a lot of people who believe in this stuff, who believe that that's exactly what happened to Robert Antoshchik. And they actually make a pretty good case if you really dive into it. And I say we take a break and then dive into it, Chuck.
Let's do it.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. It's 1975, Robert Antoshchik. That's hard to say. I apologize.
It's hard to spell as well.
It is. Whenever you have S-Z-C-Z-Y-K. Yeah, I'm not seeing any vowels in there, so that makes it tough.
No, but we got the Anto part down pat.
Yeah, that's easy. So Bobby A. was living in a house. He had a couple of roommates, and it's June of 75. It's a Sunday.
Yep.
And he says, hey, listen, I'm going to go and meditate and try an astral project in here. So you know what that means, roomies. I'm tying the forever scrunchie on the outside of my, I'm hanging it on my doorknob. Mm-hmm. And that means do not come in at all. Do not disturb me. Please, please, please. So the roommates were like, whatever, man. And several days go by and it becomes Tuesday. And one of the roommates finally says, it's been a few days. He has not come out of his room. Maybe we should go in there, open the door, and there he is, dead, on his back, but still in a meditative pose.
Yeah, he's got his thumbs still between his fingers. I think his index and middle finger. And the medical examiner who showed up shortly after said that he had a serene expression on his face.
Yeah.
But he was, in fact, dead. And if you examine the body, which they did, they were like, I don't see any reason he died. Once they conducted an autopsy, things got even weirder because the medical examiner said there was no evidence, no trace of anything that might have killed them. No injury, no disease. There was such a dearth of clues. He said normally in the Detroit Free Press, the medical examiner said normally there's something that provides some clue, even if it does, it's not like directly pointing at the mechanism of death. There's something there that I can at least make a guess. He said there's nothing here. And I have no idea. I can't even make a guess at why this guy died. It's a total mystery. He was the picture of health.
They even brought in Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
And Quincy had no idea.
No. And if you don't know who Quincy is, just ask your great-great-grandparents, everybody.
Oh, that's not nice. His stomach had food in it that was undigested, which would seem to indicate that he died not too long after the meditation on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because that food would have been moved through if he had waited till Tuesday to die after like a three-day sesh.
Right.
And so they said, well, did this guy die from meditation? The medical examiner said, well, that's an interesting idea. Let me look into that. Not so much interested in astral projection because I'm not sure I believe in that stuff because I'm a medical examiner. But there have been reports of yogis all over planet Earth that try to regulate and change their heartbeat, like usually slow it down. I seem to remember there were like on That's Incredible and stuff in the 80s, there were yogis who did tricks where they said they could like slow their heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. There's never been like super verified accounts that this is possible to do like with great success and regularity. I think there was a yogi once who did slow his heartbeat for a few seconds. We're not saying it's not possible, but they just haven't studied it and proven that a human is capable of that.
Yeah, and I have actually seen a couple of studies that do suggest it is possible. But yes, it's not definitely been disproven, but it also, there's not a whole bunch of support for it necessarily among scientific study, right?
Right.
But it was enough that, it was enough of at least a rumor or an idea that was a line of thinking that the medical examiner followed. And he posited that it's possible Robert, in this meditative state where he was trying to astrally project, which, by the way, is considered a really dangerous type of meditation among yogis in the East. Like, this is not something that you do lightly. And having trained and studied in India, Robert probably would have been a better candidate to do this than the average person, but it was still dangerous. And so the medical examiner posited that perhaps he had slowed his heartbeat down so slowly that it just stopped beating.
Yeah, to zero.
Yeah, and after a very short while, you would die if your heart stopped beating. But also, you could make a case that this would leave no traces of itself because the heart would stop beating under death and under any other circumstance, too. So
right.
If the heart stopping beating was the cause of death, you would never have any idea.
Yeah, like it wasn't, you could tell if someone had a cardiac arrest or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. It's just slowing down and then the engine stops.
Exactly.
So this was a theory that went away because the official cause of death ended up being, and I'm not laughing, but it was a bit of a surprise. It was a bit of a surprise at the end of this material that you sent me when it said, he died from a cocaine overdose.
Right.
Because I did not see that coming, and his family didn't see that coming. His friends, his mom, all said, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Robert was, like, the opposite of that. He was a clean liver, and he shunned stuff like this and was really into detoxifying his body, not putting cocaine into it.
Right.
The only thing I'll say about that is, like, you never know. Like,
true.
Prince died of a overdose, and he supposedly, you know, was a devout religious individual who shunned medication, and then, you know, dies of a was it fentanyl, I guess, overdose?
I think yes, or else it was from Oxy. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, all that to say, like, something could have happened. It was the mid-70s. Mm-hmm. I did see in the material you sent that it might have been hard to get cocaine in Ann Arbor in 75. I think that's highly disputable.
Okay, well, that's...
Cocaine in a college town in 75 was hard to come by.
Okay, but let me defend that, because that's actually me editorializing, right?
So okay.
Cocaine became really popular, and it reached, like, its first peak of popularity in the late 70s, say, like, 77, 78, 79, right? This is 1975 in Michigan, and during that first bout of popularity where cocaine became a thing in America, it was associated with, like, wealth and glamour, not, like, ascetic living and yoga and vegetarianism. So I just put it out there because I think it actually supports the idea that he might not have done it and that it was just kind of a cursory, we have no idea, we're just going to say this. The point is there's no explanation. Like, coverage of this just drops off after that ruling came out. The official cause of death was a cocaine overdose. So I can't find, and apparently no one can find, any explanation why they said that and how it was backed up and how they came to that conclusion.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I would think if you died from a cocaine overdose, there would be some sort of trace that a medical examiner would find, right?
Sure. And I think a lot of people say, well, I guess the medical examiner found cocaine in his system and determined it was enough to kill him. Either way, it's very weird. Again, it's a 180 that doesn't really jibe with any other part of the story. And that doesn't mean that it's not true. Like you said, you never can tell. It's entirely possible. And if you use Occam's razor, that's what happened, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't use Occam's razor, and if you believe in astral projection, you probably aren't a big fan of Occam's razor anyway.
Right. That's a good point.
But if you believe in astral projection, then what happened to Robert Antoshchek is one of the most hellish things that can ever happen to a human being, which is his spirit got separated from his body. His silver cord was severed, and his body's dead here in this plane. But out there in the astral plane, his conscious mind is forever trapped to be lost and wander forever, never to be able to come back.
That is scary stuff. And also, maybe he's still out there on the plane, though. Maybe he is a very happy individual in some other dimension.
Let's hope so, because there's a lot of astral projectors who come back and all talk about very scary places out there where souls eat other souls, and it's very violent and chaotic. It's not all, like, happy hippie stuff.
Yeah.
So I want to shout out an article on Medium from Nick Repazzatrone called The Hades Environment. Definitely worth reading. It's about the weird history of astral projection.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should do a full app on that one day.
Okay, maybe we will. But in the meantime, hopefully everybody enjoyed the short stuff. And either way, it doesn't matter now because short stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.